And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Juneau residents who use certain cell phone and internet carriers have had limited or non-existent service since last night, apparently due to a damaged subsea cable. Alaska Communication Systems and AT&T customers began reporting lost or interrupted service throughout the area on Thursday evening. Other communities in Southeast, like Skagway, Haines, and Gustavus, have also reported outages. This is the message residents heard when they called ACS through Friday afternoon.
For customers in Juneau, we are investigating a network disruption impacting Juneau. This is our top priority. We have dispatch technicians, and we will share details on our Facebook page as we learn more.
On Friday afternoon, an ACS spokesperson said a repair ship was on its way to restore the damaged cable. The company did not give a timeline for when services would be restored, but the spokesperson says it's looking at other ways to restore connection. Last fall, Sitka was similarly without internet for more than 2 weeks due to a broken subsea fiber optic cable. Juneau's deputy city manager, Robert Barr, said the city's phone lines are down, but the impacts of the outage to city functions are, quote, significant but not debilitating. He suggests residents email city officials rather than call in the interim. The Juneau School District held classes as normal. Superintendent Frank Hauser says that all district schools have a copper phone line that can be used to make phone calls, but the internet has been impacted.
Teachers are still teaching. Students are still learning. It's just kind of going back to the books and the manipulatives in the class. And just we're just continuing to focus on educating the students and, working with them and doing what we do best.
The Juneau Police Department posted on Facebook that the outage affected its administrative phone systems. Capital City Fire and Rescue also posted that some cell phones may not be able to call 911, but connecting to Wi-Fi might help. More federal workers were fired in Alaska yesterday, this time at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's unclear at this time how many people were fired from NOAA offices in the Juneau area. Aaron Lambert, a fisheries management specialist, says he was one of at least four people fired from NOAA's Alaska Regional Office in Juneau. Lambert says he saw it coming. He was a probationary employee who was with the agency for 6 months. But he said that didn't buoy his sinking feeling when he received the email yesterday letting him go because his, quote, ability, knowledge, and or skills do not fit the agency's current needs, unquote.
This is a little ridiculous as I received multiple positive performance reviews from two different managers.
Lambert even received an award recognizing his work there. His job was to estimate how many salmon are in the Cook Inlet and how many need to return and reproduce each year to support a sustainable fishery.
So it's really important for making sure you harvest enough of the fish, but also allow for conservation to have a future fishery, essentially.
It's the only federally managed coastal salmon fishery in Alaska and funnels millions of dollars into the state each year. He said NOAA Sustainable Fisheries Department at the regional office in Juneau was already a lean operation.
There's a good chance that next year the stock assessment won't be conducted, and if someone does end up doing it, they'll be pulled off a different project. The work is already spread amongst a pretty sparse staff there.
Staff at NOAA's National Weather Service puts out free forecasts and is developing community warning systems for landslides and glacial outburst floods in Southeast Alaska. The Southeast Alaska Landslide Information and Preparedness Partnership, which works with NOAA in the interest of public safety, called the agency's work a critical service. The terminations come after the U.S. Forest Service lost dozens of employees this month. Layoffs are expected to strike more agencies soon. And the roughly 1 million visitors coming to the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center in Juneau this summer will have less staff monitoring their experience, including their safety. That's after the U.S. Forest Service fired nearly all the Visitor Center staff, mostly rangers. Instead of a dozen employees, only two public-facing staff are left ahead of this tourist season. KTOO talked to rangers who were recently fired about what that means for the visitor experience and safety and what they'll do next. On Valentine's Day, Maria Diaz was delivering flowers, her winter job, when she got a call from the district ranger's office. The call was short. She was told she was laid off from her seasonal job with the U.S. Forest Service effective immediately. She got her termination letter later over email.
And then I had to go continue delivering flowers. And it looked like I just got broken up with on Valentine's Day. But it was just the Forest Service breaking up with me instead.
Diaz worked at the glacier for two seasons, one as an intern and one as a ranger. She said the job was her future, and it made Juneau her home.
This isn't a summer job. It was supposed to be a career for me. I was fully expecting to stay in Juno for years and continue moving my way up. And they didn't give us a choice to do that.
Officials with the Trump administration say the workers were laid off to increase government efficiency and reduce spending. But a Forest Service official confirmed that the recreation area's revenue in visitor fees and permits exceeds its operating costs by more than $1 million. In other words, the visitor center earns enough to pay employees and more. Diaz is one of more than a dozen employees recently terminated from the visitor center, leaving only two public-facing staff and a few maintenance staff. She and the other fired staff expect the people left behind will have to do multiple jobs to keep things running. And they're worried about what this will mean for the future of the glacier and the people who love to go there. Diaz says boots-on-the-ground roles like hers are essential. Rangers enforce safety on the trails near the glacier. That's critical at the Mendenhall Glacier, where visitors from across the country may see bears for the first time. Visitors often don't know how to react when they encounter a bear, sometimes crowding it instead of moving away.
I have seen people really put themselves in dangerous situations, and the only reason why something bad didn't happen was because there was somebody there. There was a ranger there.
Mason Hearn worked at the glacier as a ranger, too. He was also fired. He said he thinks that even if the Forest Service can keep the visitor center open with volunteers and reallocated staff, the visitors will feel the effects of the job cuts.
They're going to have to make a sacrifice somewhere, and I think it's going to mainly be the user experience.
He said he hopes the Forest Service can continue to provide safety precautions, even if there won't be Forest Service staff out there speaking with tourists about the landscape, local flora, and fauna. Hillary Hunter said rangers frequently use their first responder training to treat patients on the trail while they wait for an emergency medical team, which could take as long as an hour. Hunter is another Forest Service ranger at the visitor center who's been terminated.
There have been heart attacks at the visitor center before, and we have people go into diabetic shock.
Like the others, Hunter's termination letter cited poor performance as the reason for being fired. But she said there was no performance review to inform that.
And the person who the email is signed from is someone in Washington who has not met us.
She grew up in Petersburg. Her dad worked on trails there, and she learned about the natural world around her and how to safely enjoy it from an early age.
I didn't realize what a privilege that was as a child until I got older. And then that made it more important to me to increase access to others, to be able to also have that and love this place and interact with it the way that I had taken for granted.
Isabel Jock has been working at the Mendenhall Glacier since her summer internship in 2019. She was fired too, but she's going to do whatever she can to get her job back.
I am not going anywhere. I'm not going to be quiet.
Jock plans to appeal her firing, arguing that the basis, her alleged poor performance, isn't valid. She said she's known since she started that this job isn't about the money.
You know, when I was an intern and I was talking to a wiser, older ranger, and they said, if you're in this field, you get paid in sunsets. You're here because you love your national forest, you love your national parks, and to serve your community and your nation.
Forest Service officials have not released a plan to staff the visitor center. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Alaska State Legislature is looking at a bill that would fund free breakfast and lunch for all public school students. Juneau Student Nutrition Service employees say it would keep students fed and take the financial burden off districts across the state. But KTOO's Jamie Deep reports that lawmakers want more information about the cost.
$28.7 million. That's how much the State Department of Education and Early Development, or DEED, estimates free school meals for Alaska Public School students will cost. It's the price tag on a bill from Fairbanks Democrat Representative Maxine Dybert. Despite the costs, supporters like the Food Research and Action Center's Clarissa Hayes told lawmakers about the benefits of providing meals for all students.
We know that hungry children do not have the concentration and energy they need to thrive at school. Studies have shown participation in school meals improves students' attendance, behavior, and academic achievement, and also reduces absenteeism and tardiness.
House Education Committee members grilled DEED staff about the exact cost of carrying out the program and found there's a good deal of information missing. For starters, they said the cost estimate doesn't include the cost to carry out the program for schools that don't already participate in federal school meal programs. They told the committee about 9 districts aren't currently in the programs. Glen Allen Republican Representative Rebecca Schwanke says she wants to see what other programs are already in place that could help bring costs down for the state.
I would definitely like to have a follow-up consideration, really, of all the possible ways that we can really bolster the good things that are happening across the districts, especially when it comes to getting food to the children that really need it, and not creating a free program that's too broad, that puts the onus on the state to provide food that's not necessarily needed.
In a later interview, Juno Nutrition Service Supervisor Elizabeth Seitz said this would be a game changer for families that struggle financially but don't qualify for free and reduced lunch. Her district's offered universal free breakfast for close to 10 years, but it's currently not included in next year's proposed budget, so some students will have to start paying for meals. Seitz says the issue is twofold. Some families don't qualify for free and reduced lunch but struggle to pay for meals. Federal reimbursements also aren't enough to cover the full cost of meals for the Juneau School District. She says the program would feed a lot of these students.
If this bill were to go through, it would be a significant relief for districts and students across the state.
Seitz says nearly 80 families in the district had their free and reduced lunch applications denied so far this school year. Lovanne Truitt is an administrative assistant for the Juneau School District's nutrition program and fills in at the schools that need food service workers. She told KTOO some of these families just don't meet the requirements set by the federal government.
We unfortunately have to turn down a lot of people who apply. It's not up to us, but they don't hit the income limit, and it's so close.
The price of lunch means it also costs the district more than a dollar for every lunch it serves to students paying full price. Truitt says many students rack up negative balances with schools to get lunch. She says there's about $12,000 in school meal debt for the district this year, and it's costing the district money.
I know several schools have paid off debts out of donations, but at this point right now, the school district is feeding kids regardless of whether or not they can pay.
The committee held the bill so that lawmakers could get more information. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
This is KTOO.